The welfare or community sector is getting very nervous. There have been indications that the Gillard government is bent on welfare reform, but the agencies who work with people who are on government benefits say the system can't be cut back any further. And there's an official attitude, according to our guest, which suggests a misunderstanding of many people's lives. John Falzon is CEO of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. He joins us. Hello, welcome to Life Matters, John.
Good morning, Angela.
So it's actually a question of language that's bothering you, isn't it?
Yes, it's a question of language, which in turn represents a reality on the ground and in people's lives. Let me explain. It's no picnic being on unemployment benefits, being outside the labour market. For the people, for instance, on Newstart allowance, an Australian living on Newstart allowance, battling to survive on $33 a day, this battle is being waged from below the poverty line. Now, I think most people, most fair-minded people in this country, would recognise that we can do much better than that, and that we do nobody any favours. We're not providing an incentive to get a job. We're actually making life harder and forcing people who are surviving on this $33 a day to devote their energy to that battle to survive rather than being able to focus on being job ready. So this ends up being a barrier to participation rather than an incentive to participation in the labour market.
John, the Prime Minister's using distinctive language about the dignity that comes with work, and she also says, we're a party of work, not a party of welfareism. Do you think she's planning to make things tougher for welfare recipients?
We would hope that wisdom would prevail. This language of welfareism is really an import from the United States, where, of course, we have seen some absolutely punitive and ruthless welfare reform, which really shifts people from one form of poverty to another, to extremely low-paid and unprotected work. That attitude of welfareism, that welfare dependency is the chief problem. This is something that completely misses the point. The point is this, when you have an outfit as hard-nosed and conservative as the OECD, hardly recognised as being soft on welfare issues, when you have an outfit like the OECD saying that Australia has the relatively lowest unemployment benefit and that it needs to lift those unemployment benefits in order to assist people to be able to reconnect with the labour market, surely it's time for us to sit up and listen. My argument, and I'm not alone here, I'm speaking certainly on behalf of my organisation, the St Vincent de Paul Society, because our members across Australia every day are seeing the Australian face of poverty, particularly amongst people outside the labour market. But certainly ACOS and all of the member organisations thereof, and more recently the ACTU, are all saying the same thing, that we need to lift the unemployment benefit by around $50 a week. There is a massive gap between it and the pension, a gap that has grown in recent years, a gap of, at the moment, $130 a week. The argument to say that we're not a party of welfareism that the Prime Minister is using is one that misses the point. And the reason it misses the point is we should be focusing on the well-being of people in this country, particularly those who are doing it tough, whether they are in the low end of the labour market, struggling to make ends meet, often with two or three precarious forms of employment, casual and part-time, or on the fringes or outside the labour market. Let us look at well-being for families, for households, but also for society as a whole and for the economy. We understand that there are economic imperatives, and we agree that lifting the level of workforce participation is indeed a good thing. We simply say that you don't achieve that outcome by making people suffer, by forcing people to live below the poverty line.
John Falzon, give us an insight into the daily life of someone who is on welfare, who has to live on a New Start allowance of $33 a day, for instance.
Well, I'd invite your listeners to consider exactly that question. If you wake up in the morning and know that, in effect, you have $33 to survive on for that day, you begin to take stock of what is possible. You need to try to bring together the greatest amount of savvy and forward thinking in order to work out how you're going to get through that day, let alone that week or that month. The reality is, of course, that the buck stops somewhere. And since people are simply unable to survive on $33 a day, one of two things happen. Either they end up needing to make decisions about what they go without, and often the things they go without are things that most of us would consider absolutely essential. I'm thinking of healthcare. Often we're talking about healthy food, we're talking about being able to buy clothing, and then of course there are a whole lot of areas where they would need to spend money in order to be job ready. I'm thinking particularly of education and training and transport costs. So either that happens or people find ways to supplement that meagre income support. And that's where, of course, an organisation like mine comes in, and the many other wonderful charities. People are forced to rely on charity, either of institutional charities or of the help of friends and family. Sometimes it means looking for cash in hand work or some form of casual work. But our point is always this: we charities, we'll always be here to pick up the pieces, and we will always be here to assist people, to give people a hand when they are really up against the wall.
John, as you know, the government is wrestling now with how to fund the flood levy. Are you thinking that pensions and benefits are looking vulnerable, and which ones in particular do you think are most vulnerable?
Well, this is a concern. And what I was about to say, that yes, whilst charities will be here, this is a matter of justice. And justice demands that people are given an adequate income. We really believe that in order to get Australia working, to really increase the rate of participation, we need to look at early interventions, more targeted assistance, training, education. You know, if we really want to be the smart country, if we really want to address the problems that are rarely spoken of but are there in the area of productivity, we need to think outside the box about this massive pool of people who can contribute so much but will not be able to contribute if all they experience is a stick on their backs rather than the support that is their right as human beings. And going back to what the Prime Minister was saying about the dignity that comes with work, I'd like to put to you that work alone is not what gives us dignity as human beings. people on the outside of the labour market are deserving of dignity. And then there's the whole area of unpaid work, the unpaid work of caring, which is often carried out by women, particularly sole parents, but not exclusively. I think it is time that we recognise the social and human value of this unpaid work as well. Now, going back to your question about where the money is coming from for the flood reconstruction, yes, look, we are deeply concerned that there would be any move to make those who are most vulnerable in society pay for this. We are all agreed that this is something as a nation that we must pay for. We are all agreed that this is something that is necessary and is the responsibility of government and the community. But that the most vulnerable in the community should be made to bear the brunt of this is absolutely unconscionable. We have already seen a cut to the National Rental Affordability Scheme, which provides housing for low-income families. This has been a great source of sadness for all of us in the community sector, people who work with those who are struggling to find affordable and appropriate housing. We certainly call on the government to reverse that decision to make a cut in an area as vital as that.
John Falzon, thank you very much for joining us today on Life Matters.
My pleasure, Angela. Thank you.
John is CEO of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. It'd be interesting to hear from you on what you've heard John say. It'd be especially interesting to hear from you if you've tried living on New Start, perhaps. We'd love you to get in touch via the website abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. And the real cost of living is our topic for tomorrow's talkback here on Life Matters for those who are really struggling, but also for those who seem to be doing okay at the moment. We'll have more information about that for you a little bit later on.